الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كمثل الشيطان إذ قال للإنسان اكفر فلما كفر قال إني بريء منك إني أخاف الله رب العالمين. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In the hadith, the punishment is mentioned of people who don't give zakat. The punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And it is clear that this will be for the believers. The believers who didn't give zakat. The non-believers will be thrown before that in Jahannam. And the zakat or command of zakat is not for non-believers. The command to them is iman. They must accept iman. And once they accept iman, then all the other injunctions become compulsory upon them. So for the believers, on the day of Qiyamah, those who did not pay their zakat, the zakat will be changed into the form of a very poisonous snake. It comes, the description is given in the hadith, that it will have black spots in its eyes. And it will be bald. Ulama explain in this that because it's so much of strong poison in it, that the hair on the head of that snake does not grow also. And the two black spots is also a sign of being very, very poisonous. Snakes that are extremely poisonous, they have that black spots. Some ulama has explained the two black spots as two fangs, the teeth which come out of the mouth. Yeah, and that is very frightening also. And it is also explained in various other ways. And then the snake will be put around the neck of that person. And the snake will tell him, I am your wealth. I am your treasure. We used to treasure so much, and you should not give the zakat of it. And on the day of Qiyamah, this is before going in Jahannam, in front of all the people on the day of Qiyamah, and the snake will keep on biting him, and that poison is very, very, very painful. We know a mosquito bite, which about half an hour, more or less, the sensation of that, whatever it injects in a person, that sensation remains. And we know how irritating a person is scratching all the time. A wasp is much more severe. The pain is much more severe. And then it's the pain of a scorpion, the poison, and of a snake. And these snakes, which will be of Akhirat, how terrible won't it be? So we have to be very, very conscious of this, that we pay our zakat also, and also at the same time, there isn't only this one, also ulama have written, that this, there are various other descriptions of these snakes also. Then whether they will be given at different times or whether at the same time the different snakes will be poisoning, biting that person. So it is very, very frightening, and this also we must be conscious of. Normally, in fact, there are many people also who praise those ulama who don't speak about punishment, who only speak about good things. That is what the people like. And also, the good what they are doing, also not properly, just cockeyed they are doing some good, whether it's parda, whether it's namaz, and the ulama who praise them, mashallah, that at least people are making namaz. At least they are wearing the hijab, the burqa. Right? And this also is the thing, this hijab, like there are many people, women, who wear the hijab. But that hijab gives them license to mix freely with men. Because we got our niqab on, they are walking amongst the men, joking with the men, doing their work. But because we got our niqab, we got our burqa on, our hijab, so it's permissible. It's not. What is parda? The strongest form of parda, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. And wherever necessity, then we come out. And where necessity, Islam does permit that a woman can speak to a strange man. But when there is a necessity, and that also with all its conditions, how much is necessary, and with all the other conditions, but just now going around freely and mixing with people, this is common in many families also. The woman just feel we got a burqa on our face, and that also, what kind of a niqab? The eyes are open, half of the face is open. Like that is not correct at all. So in all these matters, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not only bashiran wa nadhira. He gave glad tidings also, and he gave the warnings also. And those who don't give the warnings, who don't speak about akhirat, who don't speak about the haram things, only speak about the good things, what the people are doing, and that also half-heartedly, and also only halfway, mixed up everything, and the people will be happy. But then the thing is, what will happen in the akhirat? In the Quran Sharif, Allah has explained so many places, that there when they will see that our leaders did not warn us about the pitfalls and the dangers, they will become the worst enemies. And then their fighting is also one adab that will be in Jahannam. And Jahannam, the punishment of it also, Surah Tabarakalladhi, Allah give us tawfiq to read it every night. One ayat, إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when the people of Jahannam will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam, سَمِعُوا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ التَّفُورِ, they will hear screaming, terrible screaming, and roaring, the roaring of the fire of Jahannam. And the fire of Jahannam will be very angry. The fire, Jahannam will be angry, that why did you come in me? It's like you have to do, somebody tells this worker, do this work for this person. And the worker, it's not his duty. It's not his time of duty. He's finished his duty. But because the boss told him, he has to do it. So he's angry about it. So he said, why did you have to come now? Is this the time only you found? Jahannam is commanded by Allah to treat the people. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when they will be thrown, سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا, the Jahannam will be roaring. وَهِيَ التَّفُورِ, and it will be extremely angry. سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ التَّفُورِ تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ, it looks like it's going to burst in anger. Like sometimes we know people also who can't control their anger. And they are so angry. They even say, hold me. Or you can see the person looks like his head is going to burst. So much of anger. It will look like Jahannam is going to burst because of the anger of Jahannam. So we must be, it's not a matter of just living in this dunya. It is a matter of the akhirah. In the Quran Sharif, Bismillah. Particularly, and in the second and third quarter of Alif Lam, half a supara, Allah has almost totally devoted it to the evils of the Jews. And then Ali Imran, the next surah after Surah Baqarah, the first 83 ayats are devoted totally to the Christians. That is, the wrong that they believe, the wrong action, the wrong they have done, all that in detail Allah has mentioned it. Now this is in the Quran Sharif. No Jew is going to read the Quran Sharif. No Christian is going to, Muslims are going to read. Now the question can easily arise in our mind, why is Allah talking about them in the Quran which we are going to read? And so Allah explained their evils also. And then why they went wrong, where they went wrong, and what is the right thing, and Allah, what is the solution to it. And then over and over, Allah exhorts, encourages, make tawbah, come right, make tawbah, come right, Allah will forgive you, come right. All that is mentioned in the Quran. It is for three basic reasons. One is so that we, the readers of the Quran, the Muslims, that we recognize the evils of theirs. That is, all the wrong they have done, we recognize it, and we know what is the wrong. Secondly, that we don't follow them. That we don't follow what they have done. And we don't fall in the same trap which they have fallen in. Like, for example, the Christians still now at this moment, and a person who is a devout Christian, and he's a very, very pious Christian. He believes in Trinity, which is not what Isa alayhi salam taught. He believes that Isa alayhi salam is Ibnullah, the son of God, of Allah, which is not what that is not Christianity. But they are convinced of that. And even all the missionary, they are propagating that, which is not Christianity. So we are warned that we must not think we got Islam, and but it is not the Islam of Nabi alayhi salam. The Christians got their Christianity, but it is not of Isa alayhi salam. And even if it was the right Christianity they had today, it's also cancelled. Even if they were 100% their beliefs were correct, but from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was cancelled. Now the only salvation is in the deen of Islam. There is no question of interfaith and mixing of religions, and all religions are equal, all teach good things and take the good of all religions. There isn't good in all religions. Only good is in Islam. And the full goodness is in Islam. And that is the only way. So Allah has mentioned it, that we recognize their wrong. We don't make the same mistake also. And we don't follow the people who are doing wrong. So they, Allah has exposed them, and fully, fully Allah has exposed it. And how the Quran Sharif is, Allah makes bayan, mubeen, open, clear, clear, Allah explains all the details. So we should take these lessons from there. So we also should see that where we must not go wrong, and we must not follow the wrong people also. That is very important to recognize. So Allah has shown, don't follow the Jews, don't follow the Christians. And particularly amongst them, Allah Ta'ala said, فَاتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارُهُمْ وَرُهْبَانُهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ. They took their ahbar and their ruhban, that is, their learned scholars, ulama, and their pious people. And no doubt in their sense, they were extremely pious and very learned also. They were great scholars. In Arabia, the pagan Arabs used to look respect them because of the knowledge of the kitab they had. And Allah is referring to them as Ahbar and Ruhban. Allah is saying they are ulama, they are mashayikh. Allah is referring to them. But when those great scholars of them and the very pious people made mistakes and changed the religion and made a new religion, Allah warns against that. And Allah calls it that by following them, it's a new religion. They brought up new things. It wasn't, yeah, Allah has made it. Wal Masih ibn Maryam. That is, they all made shirk with Allah Ta'ala. But the shirk of the Ahbar and the Ruhban is completely different from the shirk of those who worship Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam, they worship him as a god, his statue, and they worship him as a god. In that worship, act of worship, like for example, the Barelwis, those who are the extreme Barelwis, who worship their peer subs also, worship their qabars also, make tawaf around the qabar, all those things which they do. So that is that type. But what was the shirk with regard to the Ahbar and the Ruhban? That was not that they used to worship them like that, how a god is worshipped. But their shirk was, they changed the religion, the laws, the masalas, and they presented it now as religion. And the people following, that was their shirk. It wasn't that they were worshipped how Isa alayhi salam is worshipped, or how the peer subs, etc. are worshipped, not that kind. But theirs was that they changed the religion. So when that is the case in our deen also, whoever changes the religion, and even if they can be great, great ulama, but if they change the religion, then that is also shirk. And we poor people who follow their commands, leaving Allah's commands one side. What Allah's commands are, and they are clear cut. The basic rulings, the finer things are not so clear for everyone to understand. But the basic rulings of Islam, for example, segregation of sexes. Non-Muslims know that Islam doesn't permit it. And many places at the immigration, if the lady goes and there is a man, many places it happened with us, that he said, I won't look, and he goes and bring a lady. Or he make arrangements to go in a private room and then verify whether the photo is the same of the person, etc. The identity, they verify that. So even the non-Muslims know that. In fact, at one place, there was a lady officer, one of the immigration officers, and she left her post and she came and she said, you people must come just to me. I will verify. And so they also know. And now if any can be big ahbar and rohban, and unfortunately this is an area, not a grey area, but a complete black area now, where the mixing with women is promoted so much, whether it is on panel discussions on TV, whether it is interviews with women journalists, and big ulama sit and having this year. And what comes in the minds of the people, that it's not wrong when such big ulama are doing. And this is the bigger wrong, that when people get this wrong impression, that it isn't wrong. Where ulama having panel discussions with women, and now to the level that our ulama, who are going to the churches, etc., and the photos are taken and presented, that they are shaking hands with the non-Muslim woman, with the church woman. They are shaking hands with them. And the big leaders of the ulama, in the ulama organization. So this is a time when this matter is so serious. And Allah went to great full details to explain all this and expose it. So it is necessary. If an ordinary person makes a guna of this type and you don't expose it, it's not so dangerous. People will say he doesn't know, he's just an ordinary person. But when an alim does it, and a known and a renowned, and who has got a following, then people will say, if he's doing it, he can't be wrong. And how many of our good people, they say, how can you speak against the big ulama? That they can't do wrong. We got that in us, that they can't do wrong. But it's an open wrong which everyone knows. Whether it is photography, it is totally, and there is nothing like that. There is another view. We accept it is haram. But there is another view. If we go and study what our reliable ulama, nobody accepted the second view. The details we have discussed quite a few times, and all that only much later, after 1400 years, then another view also was mentioned. From the time the camera was invented, from that time. But otherwise, there is no second view. It is totally haram. So we also must be very careful about this. And in all these matters, from the instance of Barsisa, which we explained, Quran Sharif says, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كُفُرْ. When Shaitan tells a person, it tells insan, make kufr, disbelieve. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ. And when he does disbelieve, he disbelieves in Allah Ta'ala. قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيٌّ مِّنْكَ. Shaitan says, I got nothing to do with you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Shaitan is saying, I fear Allah, رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So we know where Shaitan fears. It is narrated in the time of Musa alayhi salam, Shaitan came to Musa alayhi salam and said, please make sifarish, intercede for me that Allah forgives me. Musa alayhi salam asked Allah Ta'ala, Shaitan once he's asking for his forgiveness, forgive him. Allah said, no problem. Tell him to go and make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, to the qabr of Adam alayhi salam. He said, this I can't do. So when, and which Quran Sharif says that Allah beautifies the deeds for the kuffar. زُيِّنَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. That all the evil things, they think we are doing right. Shaitan, he also, I can't. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I'm better than him. So this is that, and when this comes, the زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. When Allah beautifies it, now Shaitan puts you, gives you the leaves of the Quran Sharif. How Shaitan went to Adam alayhi salam in Jannah and told him, I'm taking qasam. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was that embodiment of the love of Allah. That when Adam alayhi salam heard Allah's name, He says, Allah's name, nobody will take a false qasam on Allah. Nobody will say anything wrong about Allah Ta'ala. Even if it was shaitan, and Allah had warned Adam alayhi salam, be careful about shaitan. He is going to take you out of Jannah. But when he heard the name of Allah, he was overtaken. And shaitan then, he mislaid Adam alayhi salam in there and made him do what Allah had forbidden him from doing. So shaitan is he'll come to few things particularly, many things. But what comes to mind now, one is we must remember when shaitan comes to a person, he comes to every person according to his way. For example, he won't come to an alim, but unfortunately that is happening today. He won't tell an alim, go to a brothel, go to a gambling place. He won't tell him that. What will he tell him? He will fill him with pride. And an ordinary sinner, a person on the road, a sinner, he won't put pride in that person, that I'm a very pious person. That poor person will never think I'm pious or that I'm a very big learner. He will make him get involved in actual gunas. But an alim, he won't, for example, or a pious person, he won't let him get gunas like all that, like going to a brothel, adultery and all that. But unfortunately, that also is happening. He will get them involved in the guna of insincerity, of pride, of fighting amongst the other ulama. And the others also will take out all the dalils from the Quran. And he will also fight against them with the dalils of the Quran. And in that, till that regard, it's all right. According, if you think this is what the Quran is saying, and the other party think, but now in between comes all the ghibat that takes place, and all the hatred for one another, all that shaitan, he just puts that little bit, that syrup for the fly, and then all the evil that follows after that, he gets people involved in that. He gets everyone involved. For example, a person in his family, neighborhood, a young lady has become a widow. Now what shaitan will put in his mind, you must help this lady, what a good intention. You must help, and you must help her such a way that nobody knows about it. Even better intention, more sincerity, but the whole poison is filled in there. That nobody, I will go personally and go and help her. I'll go to her in such a way when nobody knows I'm going to her. And you can well imagine what shaitan is filled in there. So shaitan will come to every person in a different way. And tell a person, and Allah has given us the protection. It comes that for every person, 160 farishtas are appointed to protect his iman. So from this it will appear that there is no doubt his iman will be protected. 160 farishtas. But if we understand, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, his protection is more than 160 farishtas. He says that there is a fire and you people all want to jump in the fire, hold you again around your waist to protect you, but you get loose from me and you go in the fire. So if we are getting loose after all the beautiful warnings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his beautiful teachings, then 160 farishtas also, it is like, to put it in our language, a person who is hell-bent to go to hell, then that 160 farishtas cannot protect him. The kalima la ilaha illallah is enough for our protection. But when we break the laws of the kalima, we don't fulfill the rights of the kalima, then the kalima which is so powerful, laysa laha hijab dun Allah, nothing, the seven heavens and the seven earth can come as a solid thing around it, kalima will break through and grow. But when we don't fulfill the rights, then that kalima also now, La ilaha illallah is the strongest thing. How strong it is, but it also loses its power. Because when our action, so we have to, it's not a matter of this dunya's life. Dunya's life, yeah, you want to please the people, you want to please the government, you want to please your nafs. It's alright, you can do it, but for how long? And what pleasure? Hardly any pleasure. And for that Allah has explained the ayats of the Quran of Jannah. That is pleasure. For فليعمل العاملون فبذلك فليتنافس المتنافس. That is what we should strive for. Not the things of this dunya. Yeah, you go for a wonderful holiday and we have the holiday and it turns into a tragedy. Somebody has died, a child died in a swimming pool. Over and over we are. Motor car accident. We went for such a joyous holiday. We're spending so much of money and it turns into a tragedy. Jannah, there is no question of any tragedy. And the enjoyment there will be water sports, there will be skiing, there will be everything and no fear of any. Yeah, even if you come back safely, but you know there was that narrow escape we had. What could have happened there? How that could have turned out? And how many times you turn up there, your booking, they don't have record of your booking. Now you got a problem there. You were looking and in a holiday mood you are. And then the whole thing is upset. And how many haram relationships starts in the holiday? And with who and who you meet and who? You, your wife, your children, where somebody gets involved. Jannat, nothing like that. So we should be on our guard. This lesson of Barsisa is a great, great eye-opener for every one of us. Nobody must think that I am safe. Everyone is in great danger. And a person who will understand, who won't just be, like for example, the weather has warmed up so much, but so many of us are still sitting with jackets. We're taking our precaution. We say that it's still not properly hot. Can't give up our winter clothes slowly. We take our precaution. On the road, we take precaution. There is a sign, there are hijackers here. We take extra precaution. Somebody flicks the light, then we lower our speed. We see a few cars there with hazards. Then there's a police block. You put our seat belts quickly. We check everything. So we must take our precaution from shaitan also. All the time. But ask ourselves sincerely. And we who have come here, compared to other people who are now, perhaps haven't made Isha also. We will think we are pious, or people will think we are pious, or that we are conscious of our deen. Ask ourselves, how much do we think I must protect myself from shaitan? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Every little child knows it, but who of us reads it? And who reads it with that Allah protect me from shaitan rajim? We have been taught, it has been given. So easy. Who doesn't know أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم? But who of us read it also? And if we do read it, where we read it, like we start our namaz before Surah Fatiha, we don't even know we read it. It's such a thing. Yeah, for example, your child hasn't put on his jersey. Your father, mother shouts him. You know you start coughing. Why don't you wear your jersey? How angry we come. But who told the child to read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim? When we're leaving the house, ask ourselves, we all have come here and we left our homes to come here. And the simple dua, Bismillah, Tawakkal to Allah, Wala Hawla, Wala Quwwata Illa Billah. How many of us read the dua? And this dua, a person who reads it, immediately Allah Ta'ala himself says, or appoints a farishta, an angel, to tell us, Wuqita, you have got your security for the day. But who reads it? Kufita, your needs will be fulfilled for the day. Hudita, your hidayat is guaranteed for the day. Today when we are also blabbering all the time, talk shop, very dangerous times. Iman in the morning, you'll have Iman. By the night, you will lose Iman. Maulana is also making bayan, Mimbar, Friday, Juma, all talking about it. But what are we doing about it? So you'll have your... وَتَنَحَّى أَنْهُ الشَّيْطَان. A person who read that, shaitan leaves him and goes on a different route. Shaitan won't interfere with you. Temptations of... So we have been given our protection. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. What powerful words. But how much are we reading it? بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. And all this is not just the words that we read, But the concentration, zikr, the value of zikr comes, the quality of zikr is when we concentrate on it. Not we are reading astaghfirullah and we are looking at a woman, astaghfirullah. And we are making plans in our mind and looking at the details of her curves and contours. And yeah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. What kind of istighfar is that? That istighfar will bring tears to the eye, sorrow to a person. That is called istighfar. And that istighfar, one tear drop to the size of the head of a fly, it will put out the fire of Jahannam for you. And otherwise, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will cry so much that his tears will get finished. Pus will come from the eyes, they will get finished. Tears, blood will come from the eyes, that will get finished. It won't move Allah's mercy in the least, but yeah, that one tear drop, the size of the head of a fly, and Allah's mercy comes so much, not only that Allah forgives, Allah changes all your evil deeds into good deeds. So much it moves Allah. The value of amal, if we are realized, the value of our dunya's life. The value of dunya's life is not making properties and investments, even jais and halal, big businesses and running big shops and that. Value of dunya's life is to make our akhirah. Yeah, the value of so many amal. A person reads those. A person reads Allahumma ighfirli wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat 27 times. Then as many Muslims and Muslim man, woman, mu'min man, woman they are in the world, he gets so much sawab. Now 27 times is not even half a minute. Then a person reads it. And Allah makes him mustajabud da'wat. All his du'as will be accepted. But who of us are doing it? And I'm speaking again about we who think ourselves we are pious, or we're supposed to be pious, or people think of us as pious. Then what about the poor other people? What is the condition? And also we should remember, Allah Ta'ala's system is, see Nabi, what evil the whole world was sunk into darkness before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw what's the condition. He was so concerned even before he got Nabuwat. He should go to the cave of Hira, contemplate and cry to Allah, what's the condition of the people? He cried in his way also, halfe fuzul, certain agreements that there mustn't be zulm on the people. Outsiders who come to Makkah, nobody must ill-treat them. All that he was trying. And when a person has got those, Allah chooses that person. And this is in the early knowledge of Allah to make him his Nabi. And then Allah Ta'ala, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was looking after his animals, and that one sheep that made him tired, whole day running after it. And when he caught it finally, then he asked maafi from the sheep. I made you tired. I made you run so much. Allah saw it. He's got the heart for Nabuwat. And then Allah chose him and made him his Nabi. And how also? That he was traveling with his wife. She was going to give birth. She and when a woman is going to give birth, how much she must be pampered. And unfortunately, today because of our wrong lifestyle, how many of our young girls don't get that pampering? They are just left to the mercy of some hospital or where, how they give. Whereas properly it is, how that girl is pampered when she, especially in our circles, the food she is given to give her strength in her body. Before that, when she gives birth to the child, etc. And our tariqah, the child is given a bath, adhan is given, iqama is given, tahniq is made, all those things. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife was going to give birth. So he saw a fire burning on the top of the mountain. He said, let me go there. I can get some heat and I can warm you up. You need that heat at that time. And also at the same time, I'll ask directions from there. Somebody will give me directions. But Allah gave him very big directions. Allah made him his Nabi. What he went for? That small little fire and to look after his wife. He looked after the woman of the world. And Allah gave him direction for the people of the world. So today also, so at all times there have been, the history goes through this process. that if the people stand up for Haq, Allah brings the Haq. And we know how many of us, or we ourselves, or we know of our other people, that family, there was piety. The boys were pious, the girls were pious, there was piety in the family. And where it was opposite, where people were in dunya, then we know that you can't tell them even the trust in Allah. You can't even tell them, pay your zakat and Allah will protect you. For them, what makes sense? You must have your insurance. You must make sure the premiums of the insurance are paid. You tell that people pay zakat, Allah will protect you. They will lose the iman, you go and tell them. What they will speak at such a time. You tell them, give some charity, sadaqah. Allah will protect you. Sadaqah protects everything. But it doesn't make sense. So that whole family, that whole community is gone in. Today the whole ummah, by and large, our trust is fully on insurance policies. And an insurance policy, 100%, they also have to admit, can't protect the harm. The insurance policy is only after the harm is done. They don't have anything in that insurance that will protect you from the harm. When the harm is done, then they will look for loopholes not to pay out. First they will check whether you are up to date with your premiums, etc. And they will try and look for some loophole not to pay you out. And on the other hand, sadaqah won't let the harm happen. Zakat won't let the harm happen. 100%. The harm won't happen. And if a person, for example, there was a robbery, a fire came, you had your insurance, everything, you had your CCTVs also. CCTV can't stop that fire. It can't stop those people robbing you. And now they came and they stole whatever they wanted. In the process, your firearm license they stole. Your driver's license, your ID document, your passport. Now, what the procedure of getting all these documents again? Getting affidavits, going here, and today we know what the government offices to get one small thing done. What a job it is. Can the insurance stop that, block that? Can CCTV block that? Not at all. But you gave your zakat, you gave your sadaqah. There is no, non-Muslims had yaqeen on zakat. We give our zakat and Allah will protect us. But today we as Muslims, we haven't got our yaqeen on if we pay our zakat properly. Allah will protect us. We give sadaqah. And not only protect, you give only 2.5%. 97.5% is still by you. And that 2.5% is going, but it's going to purify that 97.5%. Our wealth gets contaminated, but you gave your 2.5%, it purifies the 97.5%. It protects the 97.5%. It puts barakat into the 97.5%. What more we want? And more than that, you give a little bit sadaqah. And all this what you are giving, helping the poor. As a human being, your basic thing, how can you have a nice meal and your neighbor has got no food? It's just natural, even Allah save us. But even if we didn't have iman, as a human being, how can we be enjoying and other people are suffering, no food? We've got blankets and blankets and they don't have one little rug to cover themselves also. How they spend their night in that cold, they shivering, and how that mother has to see her little babies shivering in the cold. And here we are, it is not a human being that. Forget a Muslim, forget a mu'min. So these are natural things. So Allah, give us tawfiq to understand that to what we should be doing, which direction we should be going. Life is short. It's not to waste our time here and to make our akhirat. And at the same time also, with all our own preparation and our marhumin who are gone, to make isale sawab for them. Allah has given us this opportunity. And whatever isale sawab we make, 3 times, qul huwallah. Whole Quran Sharif sawab, how much they benefit. But who of us do that? We make for our asatiza, we make for our mashayikh. How fortunate won't be that person who makes 2 rakats nafal namaz, who reads qul huwallah and passes it, for example, to Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayh. And today if we can see really Maulana Jalaluddin, and 100% he will be shocked. that who, this person here, from where and after how many hundreds of years, he sent, and it's a great gift, your two rakats of nafal namaz, or you send it for Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala, for anyone else, for Maulana Qasim Nanutvi rahmatullah, that these people who know family, nothing, oh, and this big sawab has come from there, and they make du'as for us, and those du'as are accepted by Allah, they don't get sawab for those du'as, but the du'as are, they make also, and they are accepted also by Allah. Oh, that is why we are here, not to wish our sports, cricket, kuffar sports, stupid things like 22 people on the ground just to get a ball between two poles this side or two poles this side. So how many people, 50,000 people in the stadium, 500,000 people watching on TV, and three stumps, and just to throw the ball, and how lot preparation before that cricket match, and how much all, what rules and regulations, the umpires, and what and what thing, just to throw a ball and hit a ball. Is that why? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا? And this is the ummah of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, who is kuntum khayra ummatin, who are for the best of the of mankind. And especially our job description have been given. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. But we following in their munkar, and we stopping the ma'ruf, which Allah speaks of the munafiqeen. That's the traits and qualities of the munafiqs. And how many of us in our homes, families, we a person don't make too much namaz. You are becoming too pious now. Your parda, you are too strict with your parda. You are making double parda. We don't need all that here in our lives. We are commanding the evil, and we are stopping the good. How lot of us the wrong thing. So this life of ours, and be careful of Shaitan. How he took Barsisa, was genuinely the most pious person at that time, and how he was particular of his piety, but the final stage he went on kufr from this dunya. And for what kufr, like I mentioned, snakes are not for the kufr, that is worse. This is for a mu'min who didn't pay zakat, one aspect of his deen. And our Islam is not only zakat. Namaz, what is the punishment mentioned for people who don't make their namaz? What will be our... And we're not worried about this. In our family, in our town, we are worried of my own dunya, my holidays. And I must go for my hunting, and I must go for my fishing, and going with wearing my big gum boots and going in the water 2 o'clock in the morning, that is something, a great achievement of mine. And sorting out my fishing rod, and my lines got tangled, and I must sort that out. Those are important things in our lives. And deen is nothing whatsoever. Allah give us proper understanding for what our person, and to save us from shaitan. And shaitan who is misleading other people, who are misleading the ummah, we can't sit quiet. If we are keeping being complacent and we are keeping quiet, we the gunas that are going to come, our share is in there also. And it's not a matter of a few people talking about this and that. It is everyone's duty. And everyone, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolan ar-ra'iyyati barra'a minkum munkaran. Whoever of you sees the wrong done, each one is charged to the duty of correcting it. And if we don't, the consequences are also accordingly. May Allah guide us to righteousness, inshallah.